So my usual saying in the beginning is hello fellow developers, but right now I think we have not just developers in the audience, and we will have no interview with developer, but you already have a chance with Paulina. So hello, welcome Paulina.
Thank you very much. And I have to say as an excuse that my mom, my dad and my brother and my boyfriend are developers. So I hope there is enough developer DNA in me.
Obviously, yes. So, okay, so I really recommend you also to check in the YouTube video your presentation in this stage during the conference. And during your speech, I was thinking, okay, so Paulina is doing something like black magic with crystal ball and trying to do something, predict. But then I realized when you mentioned that all those prediction is based on the data. So I'm wondering, so how you are looking for those data and how you finding the sweet spots within this data that this is something which could be next big bet in the industry or in the some thinking process.
Mm-hmm. I think we have always tried to look forward in the future, and there were the crystal balls and tea leaves and tarot cards, and that's true. But since the 1960s, it's actually data-based profession. So it's quite recent that it's not just feeling the air and communicating with gods, but actually it's data-based. Currently, of course, we are going through a huge revolution, also thanks to AI. I have already mentioned one of my favorite tools when it comes to prediction, which is called NWAI, which is utilizing AI in order to make the perfect specific predictions. But to answer your question, I will walk you through certain types of data that we're looking at when it comes to formulating those predictions to be sure that we can be at least 80% sure that we know what's going to happen. First, we are looking at megatrends. I have already introduced like aging population or acceleration of technology or globalization or the fact that people are moving to cities. And this is actually most useful when you are looking very far ahead. When I'm making predictions for 2050, I would be looking at those megatrends and saying like, okay, aging population could mean that we will have more caring institutions. It can mean that we will need to change our infrastructure and so on and so on. So that's the first one. Second one that we are looking at are contradictions. So when there's always something, there's a lot of something, there is a contradiction happening in the world. So for example, in the recent years, especially among young women, there was a trend of drinking green juices, going to Pilates, journaling in your diary and so on. And what we see nowadays is a complete opposite perspective. That means being very angry with the world, being very dark, being very punk related. Punk music is growing. So this is kind of like the contradictions. The same goes for sustainability. Since sustainability has become so popular that 8 out of 10 consumers consider sustainability important when it comes to shopping, we see that Gen Z are starting to ditch sustainability. And they're saying, you know, you put the world on fire, you solve it. That's not our problem. And they are starting to shop at Shein and Temu and so on. So that's another perspective. Another perspective, what we are looking are different data sets coming from, for example, IPOs, stock prices. We're looking at popularity on hashtags on social media. We are looking at scientific discoveries, what is important. So therefore, to give you an example, one of the most popular discoveries that we have recently is the GLP-1 drugs. That means something like Ozempic or Wegovy that are for losing weight. And Morgan Stanley predicts that 10% of Americans will be actually using those drugs and that it will be definitely changing the industry. Airlines expect to save a lot of money thanks to the fact that we are going to lose weight, all of us. So let's see if it happens. So that's another thing. But I want to actually doubt myself. And those are all kind of like things where you can look at the data set, analyze it and so on. But what we have seen recently, and there is such an interesting study, and I will be sharing it with the listeners and with you, is Matt Klein, the main trend forecaster of Reddit. He did a meta-analysis analysis of hundreds of trend reports during the last 5 years. And what he found out that those trend reports are only using the dominant and residual language. What does it mean? That they were using all those algorithms in order to explain what is happening, which means if you're reading those trend reports, you are not seeing anything disruptive. You are not seeing anything that is out of the ordinary. And therefore, you are not seeing the wave at the beginning of things. And this is what you are actually, where you need that human touch. Because what we are as trend forecasters looking for is something called signals. And signals are things that outside the patterns, outside the mainstream, outside something that is very average and that you can spot. And this is where you usually have those people who are chronically online or chronically aware of trends, and they're spotting those things. So this is kind of like a short introduction. If you are more interested, let me know and I will talk more.
Okay, so let's turn the page, and we heard very often, Lihil, you hear that as Europe we have a problem with the aging, that our people are getting older and older, and we have right now problem with the talents. But I see differently in big organization, we have a real big scale of the various generation, the teams. Yeah? It's because we are here, let's say, for decades. So it's obvious that we have also people which are in the company like 10 years, 20 or more, or even just start with after their studies. So, and by the way, I just saw one of your TEDx speeches where you elaborated a little bit on that. So do you think that this kind of advantage we as a big corporate organization can utilize in our processes, in our, let's say, searching for the new things?
I think there is no way around it. It's just a fact. And I have already mentioned it, that very soon we will have 5 generations in the workplace and we will need to work with them. And I often get asked by corporations, by big companies, to explain them how they could address Gen Z, how they could hire and manage Gen Z. But I think there is such a big competition in the Gen Z market, but there is no interest in other generation as such. And I think the key to successful future is actually trying to come up with solutions that would fit us all. And I think AI could be part of the solution. So to give you an example, more and more in education, we are moving towards personalized learning, micro learning, kind of like that you are learning on the job, you're learning on demand. So when you need to understand something, have somebody, a kind of a bot, chatbot, whatever, to help you with that. It's becoming more and more traditional in onboarding processes. So you're actually not wasting time on teaching new people something they already know, and so on. So, and I think this democratization can allow us actually to maybe work more seamlessly together. And instead of having one big webinar for the whole company about AI, where everybody needs to sit for 2 hours, and for some of us it's too junior, and for some of us it's too senior, no matter what age we are, I think actually incorporating those in the individualized learning approaches in the process can help us actually to smoothen the adjustment between among all those generations. So that's one example where technology can really help us. But I think the core of it is really building empathy toward different needs and different experiences of different generations, and trying to avoid the cliches around generation. I have already tried to kill the cliche about the 65-year-olds plus, and I think, you know, we can very easily kill the cliches around the Gen Zs and how they're wallflowers and how they're useless and mental health problems and whatever. So I think like also overcoming that could be one of the things we need to focus on.
And do you see also some increase, let's say, efficiency or innovations, or that this innovation which comes with this teams from multiple generation that have bigger success can have bigger potential success than innovation which comes just from the Gen Z innovation, because they are focusing only for mainly for their age group.
Yeah, definitely. I have quoted Harvard Business Review during my talk that diverse teams have 140% more chance on innovation. And I stand behind that. And I think it allows us to, for example, when it comes to training AI models, it allows us to see the whole picture. And I don't want to go into that anecdote of mistaking black people for gorillas, because you all know that. But I think this is a perfect example of why we are actually needing all those diverse teams. And why it's not only about having diverse teams when it comes to age, but having diverse team when it comes to race, when it comes to socioeconomic background. So really, I think cultivating diversity could be something that could be a, such a great innovation potential for a company.
Mm-hmm. I personally observed that if I start using the AI-assisted tools for faster development, then I was able to create some proof that my thoughts is right in very short time. Like previously it's take me 4 hours, then right now it's take me 10 minutes. Eh? So it's very fast. But then it's what we see on the manager level that their managers overhype with those, let's say, many new things which is creating. And can you give advice to the management level how to recognize those who will be successful? I know that you speak in from the beginning, but it's like how you estimate or how you estimate if some ideas or some trends will be successful in the future. But this is a little bit different field there. So
I will jump a bit somewhere else and I will come back to it. When I talk to the managers about Gen Z, one of the biggest frustrations they have is something called Veeconomics. And it is the fact that if I ask my Gen Z employee to set up a website or do a research, they might go to Fiverr and you know, ask some Indian guy to do it for them. And, you know, it will be done. Yeah, no problem. But I might be probably frustrated that they didn't do it themselves, because in my head, it was part of their learning process. It was part of something. And I think we often don't realize it, that this is coming more and more into our processes, not only employing people externally, but also employing all those bots and AI. And Philip is going to talk about all that and how we could actually become more proficient. And we are not prepared for that. We kind of like counted that the website design will take 6 days and suddenly it would take 10 minutes. So what do we do with that? And I think that is going to be a big change when it comes to managerial approach to things. And it requires learning on both sides. But back to your question, you said how to stop people. I think it was mentioned during the panel about the investment that people who use AI will advance people who don't use AI. And there is a great McKinsey study that shows actually that managers who were given access to AI tools were far better than the people who didn't use it. So for me, always what I'm looking for in employees, what I'm looking for in people is this adaptability, the willingness to learn. Because the fact that you have a great school will might not mean nothing in the future. So really, the ability to be flexible and learn around it and learn around the job, I think, is one of the core principles that we will be looking for.
So you mentioned also the learning, and this is something because I heard several times from my father or some older people that even they live in the age where some transformation changed their jobs in the market. And but it was still the first time it happened to us, eh? So first time the whole industry could change and we are searching for our position in the next days. You also mentioned it that nobody can, that a lot of people will work in the jobs which we don't know even how we will call them, eh? So how to, let's say, create in the people makes of urgency or sense that this is really gonna to happen. I know that you show the numbers, but still there is a lot of people who think, okay, you also mentioned that your father is developer and you want to mention during our discussion that it's COBOL developer. Even I don't know how syntax of the COBOL, and I'm pretty old developer, yeah, you know, but still there jobs which is suitable for those people who didn't change, but it will be not suitable for all of them. How to motivate people, how to help them cross the borders and go further with the learning, with the...
I think it's a $1 million question, really, and I would love to hear your opinions on that later on, honestly. But what I want to highlight is one number. Based on the OECD data, in the last 12 months, only 15% of Czech and Slovaks adults took part in some kind of a learning process. So the fact that you are sitting here and you're listening to all of us means you're far better and far more prepared for the future than the rest of us. And I think that's something we tend to forget, that we are part of the privileged group that is actually able to learn, that is part of the process. And I think for us, the role of the learning managers will be far more important, but also make us all learning organizations, making it part of our DNA. And we see it more and more that the organizations that are successful, that have gone successfully through all these transformation lately, were able to doubt themselves and transform themselves from within and even with their own people.
In our group in Deutsche Telekom, we need to do things very in the secure way. The reason for this is that we would like to secure our employees to be harmed from the AI, for example, or some data leaks with personal information. And we see right now also that there is legislative upon the AI or upon different things which is guide companies mostly in the Europe. What we observe, do you think that this is will be some causing some problems for us in the Europe that all others can be faster than we because we are just overregulated?
I admire people who are able to say I don't know on stage and I'm going to just right now do it, because this is something I don't think I understand well enough to be able to comment on that. Yes, there is this EU report on competitiveness I mentioned this morning, and it mentions regulations, and often regulations come into place. On the other hand, they give us a certain way of protection. And I have never been a policymaker, even though I studied policymaking, but I think I would be too much overstepping my own knowledge.
Okay, so thank you for honesty. I admit that this $1 million question again, like with the learning, but usually when I have guests, then the guests are developers, how the show is called, and we are showing the, let's say, their hands-off experience. So I would like to also hear, because right now we are on the stage and you are speaking, but you have really brilliant knowledge about many things. So I would like to know how you are build this knowledge. So how is your, let's say, day life or normal day, how you work, how you get those knowledge, from which sources, can you a little bit?
I very much vibed with the other speaker who said he had the 250 tabs open, and I felt like, oh, you're my soulmate, you know. This is it exactly, and I'm constantly on that, but... my job is meeting people. As a Google for Startups lead mentor for Europe, Africa, and Middle East, I meet over 300 startups a year, and I'm privileged enough to see even more pitch decks and dive into even more, for example, investing decisions among VCs. So this is a way how I, for example, reflect on the startup industry. And I also, thanks to the involvement with different companies like Google, I do have access to different reports and trend reports, and I do nothing else than reading, and I am lucky enough to have a photographic memory, so that's why I'm quoting all those things from the heart.
So like second child, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned that you read a lot of. If I imagine myself on your shoes, then I will definitely use some AI tools, for example, for summarization. Do you think that this is something which can you be faster in the reading and to getting the knowledge, or you just didn't use it and read the whole article?
Sure, I do use the summaries, but for me, often the summaries are something like using blink list when you are trying to understand the books. Yes, I would use blink list for understanding what's written in Atomic Habits or another nonfiction books, but I wouldn't use it for Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. And this is, I think, important for me to make a distinction. And a lot of what I do is based on understanding what's the vibe in the room, what's the culture. Because for me, trends essentially are reacting to culture, because what trends are showing us how our culture operates, they give us the language. And for companies to reflect on what's happening in the culture and the language is essential. So for me, it's not only important that the term, for example, girl boss is trending, but for me, it's important to understand the sentiment around it. And therefore, like, to skip the human part would be a very stupid decision on my part.
I need to admit that if I start work with the AI, then I was thinking, okay, so this whole AI can do everything what I am doing. Then later I just realized that it's not true, that still the human touch is very important. Mm-hmm. I really would like to thank you for those words. It was very refreshing to speak with you. It was a really nice opinion and nice views to several things which I don't know. So I hope that it also helped you. I don't know, because our time is up, I don't know if we have also Slido questions, or we just, okay, so if we do not have Slido questions, then thank you very much.
And then I will add the last note. I am here to learn, and if you, and I would love to speak to you and learn from you, and because I think you are the experts and I would like to learn. So if you feel like it, catch me in anywhere and I would love to speak. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.